Someone asked me a shaila, probably a somewhat common occurrence. Unintentionally, a non-Jew cooked food, like a non-Jewish babysitter, non-Jewish housekeeper, cooked, let's say, chicken and rice for the family, let's say for the kids. No one was home. The housekeeper cooked this food. A Jew was supposed to play with the fire a little bit, turn the temperature up, turn the stove on. Didn't happen. The non-Jew cooked the food for the Jew. And the question is, even b'di'evet, after the fact, can you eat the food? L'chadchila, certainly, we know that there's a prohibition of bishalachu, that the food is forbidden, and certainly perhaps even b'di'evet. The source of this prohibition is found in Maseches Avodah Zarah, in Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. There, we are told that food that non-Jews cook are among those things that cannot, that are forbidden, that are surim b'achila. They're not to be eaten. And Rashi there explains the reason is because of chasnus, because we're concerned that if a non-Jew cooks food for a Jew, then it may lead to more intimate relationships, and it may lead to intermarriage. The Rabbam in Perek Yud Zayin from and Halacha Tes from Hilchos Machos Asuras provides the same argument. Rashi on in his commentary of the Gemara and Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph provides another reason that if the non-Jew starts cooking foods for the Jew, even if the foods are kosher and even if the utensils are all fine, are not for their utensils owned by the Jew or their kosher utensils, as it were. So we're still concerned that if the non-Jew starts cooking food to the Jew, then the Jew will eat by the non-Jew's house, and eventually the non-Jew will feed the Jew non-kosher food. There are certain leniencies when it comes to bishalakum. For example, if the food can be eaten raw, if the food is not ola shulcha balach, it cannot be served at a state dinner, for example. But we're talking about a situation, say rice and chicken, where let's say both foods are eaten at the steak dinner and they're not eaten raw. So we have this issue of bishalakum. And it's not only an issue of the food, whether the food is forbidden or not, but what about the kalim? What about the utensils that were used to cook the kalim, to cook the food? There's a debate about this amongst the Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeah Simon Kuf Yud Gimel Saif Tazayin cites two opinions. Then the Shulchan Aruch, the first opinion says that the kalim that were used to cook the food when that was prohibited by bishalakum tzrichim hechsher, you're required to kasher those kalim. Second opinion, Shulchan Aruch, is that they don't require hechsher. So if b'di'evet a non-Jew cooks food for a Jew in a Jewish house, just the housekeeper, are there any potential leniencies? So the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Yud Gimel Seif Dalet in Yoredeah writes, Yesh mi shematya bishvachos shalanu v'yesh mi she'oser afilu b'di'evet. There are those who permit bishalakum with our maidservants, non-Jewish maidservants, and there are those who forbid this practice even b'di'evet. And the Ramah writes, b'di'evet yesh lismach adirim atirim. So how do we rule? The Ramah says, b'di'evet you can rely on the lenient view. And the Ramah goes further, and he says, afilu l'chadchila nogim l'hakam b'veis Yisrael, sheshvachos v'avodim v'vashim b'veis Yisrael. And even l'chadchila, we are lenient in a Jewish house where the non-Jewish servants are cooking in the Jewish house. Because it's impossible that there will be that no Jew will be fixing the fire a little bit. The question is that heter viable, a reasonable heter, especially nowadays, turning on the stove? Is that really true? It doesn't seem to. It seems to be a very difficult reason to be lenient. Certainly, lechatchila, that if you know that a Jew didn't turn on the flame, then you think maybe a Jew did turn on the flame. Maybe it was different back then. So that's that. The Ramah does write that, but it seems that the Minhag Olam is not to rely on that. Certainly, in a situation, let's say in our case, where the babysitter was alone home with the kids and turned on the flame. So there certainly you know, the kids probably did not turn on the fire. Are there any other potential reasons to be lenient? So as I mentioned, so this is one reason. The reason why the Shulchan Aruch writes that there is an opinion to be lenient with our shvachos, so this is perhaps based on the Ramban. There's a tshuva by the Ramban who writes that if a Jew owns a non-Jewish slave, then again, not taking a position on whether it's advisable, recommended, appropriate to own a non-Jewish slave. That was the reality until a number of hundred years ago. But in a situation when a Jew owned a non-Jewish slave, then the Jew is responsible for the non-Jew's observance of Shabbos. And the Ramban writes that that because sort of the Jew is in control of the non-Jew in some respects, this non-Jew is not subject to the gzera of Bishul Akum. So queries the Shach in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel Sif Katan Zayin, maybe our shvachos that are just hired, our staff, they're just staff, they're not actually owned by the Jew, so then that leniency by the Shulchan Aruch may not apply. So that would be a second reason to be lenient, but that also may not apply. There's a third reason to be lenient, and that's the Ravid. The Ravid explains that maybe the whole gzeira of Bishul Akum only applied if the food was cooked in a non-Jewish house. But if it was cooked in a Jewish home, then the gzeira of Bishul Akum doesn't apply. Others disagree with the Ravid, but we have these three different reasons. One, that maybe someone play with the flame. Again, that's very questionable whether those facts are reasonable to assume nowadays. And the other two are the shvachos. So the question is the leniency based on shvachos, do the leniency only apply to shvachos that are owned by Jews? Or, maybe not, the Shach also brings an opinion that maybe it applies even to non-Jewish staff. Because what's the whole reason of Bishul Akum? That when the non-Jew willingly, birtzono, out of his own free will, cooks for the Jew, that will lead to warm feelings between the Jew and the non-Jew and may lead to closer relationships and lead to intermarriage. However, if the non-Jew is working for the Jew, that rationale doesn't apply. So maybe shvachos, the leniency of shvachos, would apply even to non-Jewish staff. So you have potentially, in our case, you have at least two reasons here to be lenient. You have the reason of if you hold that shvachos applies to non-Jewish staff, and if you hold like the or if you hold like the Ravid, that a non-Jewish, that the prohibition of Bishul Akum doesn't apply if it's in a Jewish home. So you can be lenient for both of those potential reasons. So how do we paskin? A Talmud of Rav Shechter told me, a reliable Talmud of Rav Shechter, I didn't speak to Rav Shechter directly, a reliable Talmud of Rav Shechter told me that Rav Shechter told them you could be lenient b'di'eved. I spoke with Rabbi Willig, who is he says the Ramah is lenient, but he's not 100% comfortable with the different reasons that we provided. Therefore, he said he himself probably would not eat such food, but there's grounds, again, bishas hadchak, maybe young children, major hefsed meruba. There are grounds to be lenient. We shouldn't be motzi laz. We shouldn't cast aspersions to those who rely on this leniency. It's found in the Ramah. It's preferable to be machmir, it's preferable to be stringent. And if it's easy to kasher the kalim, so then you should do that as well. But if it's too difficult, then we certainly can rely on the Ramah.